see everyone here. Got a nice group here this morning. I'd like to talk about something that is so critical for just every moment of our life. Our life either succeeds in Christ by this one thing, or it fails. And I really believe that. Now, we are often very careful with how we talk about faith. We're also very careful with how we talk about works. And there's a reason for that. There's a lot of false doctrine out there that surround both the concepts of faith, the concepts of works. But that doesn't mean that we should leave, one or the other alone, or should shy away from these things, because the Word of God, in this matter of this word faith, it is all over the Scriptures. It's all over the New Testament. Now, and it's exemplified for us. God has shown us what faith is in the Old Testament. He talks about it in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, He shows us examples after examples, and it's so fascinating that the word faith is only used, I think, maybe once, possibly twice, in the Old Testament. But it's in every page. All right? It's exemplified in Abel and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and so many others. This is such a critical thing for the Bible to show us these people, and to identify that what they were able to accomplish was because of faith. If they didn't have faith in God, they wouldn't be in these pages. We wouldn't find them here. We wouldn't know their names. We wouldn't know who Abraham was. We wouldn't know what he did. But because he was a son of faith, he is described for us in great detail in some of the things in which he did. His success was faith. His works were done by faith. James had said in his epistle, James chapter 2, when he talked about the issues between faith and works, and how there is no issue between faith and works, but they complement each other and they go right along with each other, and you can't have one without the other. In fact, he says faith without works is dead. He says, if someone has faith but they don't have works, he raises the question, can faith save him? What does he mean by save him? He means save him. He means salvation. He gets further into the context and he says, you see then that a man is justified. Okay, that means justified in the eyes of God. That means salvation. He says, you see that a man is justified by works. That's something we don't hear every day, but that's something that James teaches in the Word of God. But you see, that, as he said in the same context, he said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And I think that is the climax there of what he is dealing with, is the fact that our works, all that we do for God, is to be built on the foundation of faith. It's to come from faith. Without it, our works fall. Without it, we get off track. We lose sight of things. This world becomes too important. We get involved in the works of this world. We get involved in this and that and whatever comes our way. And the works of God that we really need to be doing, they slip. Why is that? Well, the identifiable problem in the Scriptures is pretty evident. Faith. It's all about faith. It is by our conviction. That's what faith is, after all. It is a conviction of the evidence that God has provided for us. And it is by that conviction that we uphold our works. It's by that conviction that we stay on track, we keep on track. It's by that conviction that we are faithful, all right? What does that mean? Someone who continues with God, they're always doing the works of God, and you look at them, what do you say? You say, that person is faithful. Yeah, It means they are full of faith. That's why they're able to maintain their lives in such a way, because in their mind, they are living by conviction. They are not living by the idea that I've got to do this work and this work and this work. They are not living by the idea that I grew up and I was raised to go to church every Sunday. If you live by that, and I've talked to the about this before as well, with us who are parents, if we are instilling in our children, you need to go to church every Sunday, they might very well do that for the rest of their life. And that's great. But they might not. What we need to build is the foundation for those works. We build faith. We build conviction. This is what we are to instill in our children. This is what we are to instill in new believers. This is what we are to instill in ourselves. We build the faith, and the works aren't a problem. That's what James said. I'm going to show you my faith by my works. You build the faith, you build the conviction, and we'll be here every day that the door is open. And we'll have our Bible open every day. And we'll do the works of God. Whatever He has called us to do, we say, here am I, send me. It is faith that we need to keep us at that point. Paul spoke to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, in chapter 4, he talked about the fact that his body was failing over persecution and oppression and terrible things that have been happening to him by people. But he said, but that's okay, he said, because I know that I have a permanent body. You know, the world is doing damage to my physical body right now, but I'm okay with that. I keep on doing the works of God, and I have good courage because I know that I have a body in which the Lord will give to me in the resurrection. And so I am okay with the loss of this physical body, and I'm okay with the loss of my physical life. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, we are always of good courage because of that which we just talked about. That's why he's of good courage. He says, we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so, he says, we know that while we're here, we're away from the Lord. As long as I'm restrained to this body, then I'm restrained by sight to being in the presence of the Lord or seeing the Lord. And so he says that this is why I'm of good courage. Because I know that while I'm here in this body, I'm away from the Lord. So I'm going to continue to do the works of the Lord. I'm going to continue to please Him until I see Him. He says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that is to say that faith replaces, temporarily, faith replaces our sight. All right? He's not saying here that faith is blind. Because we don't have sight, we can't see. So faith is blind. That's not the point. And there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that our faith is to be blind. Now, I'll admit that people have blind faith. I've met people that have blind faith. I met people who are just going about by, you know, whatever has been told to them or however they grew up, whatever the case may be. And there's nothing more dangerous than that. What we need to have, and going back to children and things like that, you know, instilling faith in children, the idea is when we grow up, you know, we reach accountability, you know, we have to have our own faith in the Scriptures, our own faith in God. This is what will continue to carry us forth. Of course, we can always lose sight of it, and we can always lose faith. And we can lose faith that it was instilled within us. And there are situations, I've seen preachers. There was a preacher that I looked up to, fell away. And he was an old man. We can lose it. So we got to be very careful. I'm not saying that we reach that conviction and then it just, then life is smooth sailing. All right. But there are people that have a blind faith. They're not holding that conviction. And so that's not right. And the Bible does not want us to have blind faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is the evidence of things unseen, or the conviction of things unseen. Faith is all about evidence. We believe that our bodies will be raised from the dead. Why? Because we have seen the Lord Himself come, and He was raised from the dead. And He was seen by many witnesses in doing so. He was even seen recorded in the history books, in Roman history books, from Tacitus to Suetonius, and these individuals that hated Christianity. They lived in the first century. They hated Christians. They were godless people. Well, they had plenty of gods that they worshiped, but they didn't worship the true God. But they even wrote about it. And so we have the evidence. However you want to look at the evidence, you have it. And you look at the human body and its function, and you look at the world, and you see everything about us, and then you read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and you realize there it is. Absolutely. How could it be any other way when you look at what has been created? And so the evidence is here, but He says, we walk by faith. And that essentially he's saying, we walk by the evidence. All right? We walk by our conviction in the evidence. He says, not by sight. And so again, faith is our replacement for our sight. While we're in the body, our sight of the Lord is replaced by faith. That is to say, those who are truly of faith, they see the Lord. They see Him. They see Him every day. They see Him in everything that goes on and everything that is happening in their life. They see Him in the church. They look at the church. They realize this is His body here. This is His body. They look out in the world and they say, Christ is reigning over this world. They read the newspaper headlines. They see something terrible happening. But what is on their mind? Christ is all authority after all. You know, man can do his thing. Man can reject the law of the king, but they will stand before the judgment seat, and so will we, without partiality. And we need to make sure that our lives are right with God. Faith is our sight. Everything that we look at is determined by Scripture. Every decision we make in this life is determined on faith. Whether what job we choose to take, to wherever we choose to go and drive to, and wherever we choose to be entertained and have a little bit of fun, whatever hobbies we choose to have, all of it is decided upon faith in God and how that will affect our works for God, how that will affect our influence on other people, and how will that affect other people's influence on us. We look at things in every single way. Paul told the Ephesians, we walk circumspectly on this earth, not foolishly, but wisely. We walk circumspectly. We look at the full circle of everything around us. We observe it all through the eyes of faith. Faith is tremendous. It is true sight. It is sight that no one else on this earth has. It is sight of the unseen things that are evident all around us. It is sight of the realities that are around us. And we talked several months ago about how we read the Bible. This goes right along with it. This is how we read the Bible. We read about unseen things in this book all the time. Do we when we read it, do we see it? Because those who are of faith read this book and they see. They see the realities. Paul told the Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, this is our scripture reading. He says, "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Look at that. He said, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. First of all, how do we know that we've been raised with Christ? How do we know we've been raised with Christ? Well, Colossians chapter 2 actually talks about that. I don't have that up on the board. But Colossians chapter 2 talks about our circumcision with Christ at baptism. And he says, we are raised in baptism, raised with Him in baptism, he says, through faith. All right? And so we know that we've been raised with Him, not because when we raise out or come out of the water baptism, an angel comes and talks to us, or God or Jesus Himself comes and talks to us, or the heavens open and you know and a voice comes out, or we dreamed a dream or saw a vision or anything like that. That's not what happens. So how do we know? How do we know that we have had our sins forgiven? Only faith. The scriptures teach that. Only the evidence. The evidence that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And that Son was raised up 3 days later. And the scriptures teach, you come, you follow Him, you repent of your sins, you have faith in Him. You do the works of God, then you'll be raised with Him. Do we see that? No. Or are we still unsure if God has washed away our sins or not? The Bible has provided us with the evidence by which we'd be convicted that we come out of that water, we're smiling. Why are we smiling? Because the burden is lifted, and all the guilt and all the sin and all the reproach, it is gone. And we know that by the conviction of the evidence that God has provided. Why else did He send His only begotten Son to die on the cross, be raised 3 days later? For that to have no effect on anybody and anybody's life whatsoever? Why would He do such a thing but to save us? And that same Jesus who was resurrected from the dead comes out of that tomb and He says to His disciples, go. Go into all the world, preach these words to every nation, every creature under heaven. He says, he who believes, faith, He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And so he who has that faith and are baptized know that they've been raised with Christ in baptism. Know that their sins are forgiven. Know, they see. See, faith is our sight. We see that we've been raised with Christ, not just from the tomb, but we've been raised with Him into the heavenly places. This is what Colossians is saying. Ephesians 2 says the same thing. We've been raised with Him in the heavenly places. But Colossians 3, he's saying we've been raised up with Him to above, where He is, seated at the right hand. He goes on to talk about our life. He says, where is our life? It's hidden away with Christ in God. It's not on this earth anymore. Our citizenship is in heaven. Do we see that? Our participation and our works for God, all of this is about heaven, it's for heaven, it's about our life with God. Again, do we see that? Because that is faith. It is that mindset and that conviction that And our life is now hidden away with Christ. It's not hidden in the sense that we can't see it. We can see our life. We can see exactly where we're going. We can see exactly Jesus Christ. It's hidden in the sense that Christ is hidden. And if our life is with Christ now, and Christ is in the heavenly places no one on this earth can see visibly, then that's what he means by our life is hidden. We've died as he died. We've been raised as he's raised. And look at where we are. You know, we're seated by his right hand. Of course, it doesn't say that specifically in Colossians 3. Again, I'm pulling from Ephesians 2 as well here. But this is the idea. Paul told the Galatians similarly in chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. How did Paul see his life? He saw his life as having been crucified along with Christ. He's given up his life. He's given up the world. He's given up sin. He says, it's no longer I who live. What is he saying? Is he saying he's a robot now? He's been taken over by someone else. Christ is literally taking over that being in the flesh that was Paul. We all know that that's not the case. But when he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, we know what he's saying. This is the faith of Paul. To show forth Christ, show Christ living in him, to show the life of Christ in him, that is. This is, you know, what we're talking about. When we talk about faith, we have to talk about eyesight, vision. Because people of faith are those who see what the rest of the world is not seeing. What everyone else is being blind to, people of faith are seeing it. That's why Jesus says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. That sounds ridiculous. In terms of the world, that is unbelievable. Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Friends, if I'm fused to this world, I'm going to worry about everything. Everything is my duty to worry about. Jesus said, don't worry about it. How could he say such a thing? He's talking about faith. People of faith are able to see everything that the world sees in a completely different reality. You know? They see problems, they see conflict, they see war. Completely different reality for them. They look at things more on a heavenly level. Their citizenship is in heaven after all. And so we look at the world, our worldview, people of faith, very different. I mean, we're really looking at it, you know, from up high, looking down. And we realize, this isn't it. I mean, this is little. This is not something to be concerned about. Our life with Christ is what's to be concerned. Ephesians 3 and verse 11, he talks about the plan of God in the church is what he's dealing with in Ephesians 3. And in verse 11, he says, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Let's pause there for just a moment. He said in verse 12, he says that we have boldness and we have access, that is to God, access with confidence. Again, how do I know that? And there he says it. He says, through our faith in him. Let's not worry about these folks that are caught up in salvation is through faith only. You know? Let's not be concerned that because they use faith, the word faith, and they use the word grace 400 times in every sentence they speak, you know, that, I mean, they stole those words from the true Christians. All right? It's our right to talk about it, not theirs. And so they may talk about grace, they may talk about faith, but that doesn't mean that we are to shy away from it. Because it is everything to us. It belongs to us who are truly going to have faith in Jesus. These who, I don't know what the whole issue is, but they want to get away from the works of God. Jesus did the works of God. Jesus did the will of his Father in heaven every moment of every day. That's what someone of conviction in God does. You know, we work for him because we know it's not about working for ourselves on this earth. Our lives aren't here anymore. By faith, they're in the heavenly places. These are our words. You know, grace is ours. Faith is ours. You see here, we have boldness and we have access with confidence through our faith in him. Faith has brought us to these points. Without faith, we have no works, or at least we have no motivation to work for him. He goes on to say in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." There is no other statement on the planet, I'm convinced, that is more of a mouthful than that which we just read. And he speaks here about how Christ dwells in our hearts, he says, through faith. Again, this isn't miraculous. Christ hasn't descended down and is now living literally, bodily, inside of our hearts or minds or what have you. He says this is happening through faith, he pointed out in verse 17. This is through faith. So, dwell in your hearts. Again, heart, that's another word for saying mind. Christ is in our mind. He dwells in our mind. How does he do it? Through our conviction in him, our trust in him. And so we understand once again that how do we get more of Christ in our minds? How do we get him on our minds? How do we keep him on our minds so that everything we do and every decision we make is affected by the fact that he is dwelling on our minds? Faith is the answer. Faith will keep that on track. And, you know, practical is Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God has provided us with everything that we need to have the kind of faith that is described in the Word. It comes by hearing the Word of God. We put this book away. It doesn't become our life. It doesn't become our everyday. Then we won't have the faith we're supposed to have. And if we don't have the faith that we're supposed to have, there is no foundation to uphold the works of God. We start to lose everything else. And so notice what he said here. And the fact that those who have faith, in verse 18 he says, verse 17 he said that we'd be rooted and we'd be grounded. In verse 18 he said we'd be strong and able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How can we know something that surpasses knowledge? Faith. All right? That's going to be the one-word answer for every question I ask in this lesson. How can we know something that surpasses knowledge as the love of Christ? What does he mean by it? It means it surpasses the knowledge of the world. It's not a worldly thing, all right? It's not an earthly thing. The love of Christ is a heavenly thing, and people of faith see the heavenly things. This world does not comprehend the love of Christ. And we pull our hair out and we're frustrated with people because we want them to be saved and we want to talk to them about the Scriptures, but they are not seeing the dire, devastating need of their life. They are not seeing what we are seeing. What's the difference? Faith. Faith allows us to see the realities that are far beyond this earthly existence. True Christians can know it. And I'll tell you, you feel it. You can feel it. That is, you talk about the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, all of this, the love of Christ, the comprehension of the love of God. It's more than just mere knowledge. It's more than just a mere statement of fact here. It is something so enormous that you feel it. It's nearly tangible to people of faith. So, what we learn here from these scriptures, I do have one scripture to go. I don't mean to act like I'm wrapping up. I am kind of wrapping up, but I do want to look at Hebrews 11 for just a minute. But what we have seen from the Scriptures is that this conviction, it is our mindset. I mean, it's our mind, it's who we are. It makes more sense now that Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, whatever things are pure, good, and virtuous, and lovely, and noble, he says, meditate on these things. You know, change your mind to focus on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. If our focus is on the things on the earth, we will stumble and we will fall over and over and over again. And we ask ourselves why. We say, why are we this way? I don't want to be this way. I want to be good. I want to be a good Christian. Why do I keep stumbling over and over and over again? Why do I keep falling? Faith is the answer. The book of Hebrews, what is it all about? It is about people, written to people who were drifting away. So, how do we stay on track? How do we not drift away? The writer of Hebrews, I think chapter 11 is really quite a climax here to the solution to the problem of drifting away when he begins in verse 1 with, now faith is the ESV. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. These folks were drifting away because they were only seeing this world. They were under severe pressure from their kinfolk, their family members, the other Hebrews. Pressure from the Jewish people, even persecution from the Jewish people. They're being told from all fronts, you know, to walk away from this new superstition that is Christ and His church. Walk away from it, they're told. They're pressured into that. And the writer Hebrews even lets us know that many were giving into it. Many were falling, drifting away, falling away. And so the whole letter is geared to equipping them with what they need to be strong and to remain faithful and to not stumble and fall. And so what does he bring up but faith? He brings up faith. And he gives them example after example of people in the Old Testament. This is our foundation for our life. You know, the word assurance in verse 1, also in the New King James, is the word substance. That word substance, it literally is referring to the substructure by which everything in our life is built upon. Faith is first our substructure, our foundation. We build our house on it. We build our life on it, and the house does not shake. It does not crumble. It does not fall. We build our house on that foundation that is the Word of God. That's what he means by it's the assurance or the substance of things in which we hope for. And then he gives all these examples. Abraham is one of the examples he gives. Who is Abraham a figure of? Why does God like to talk about Abraham? You know, Abraham was old, you know, and he was even before the law of Moses. But still, all throughout the law of Moses times, God likes to talk about Abraham. God really likes Abraham. And then you get to the New Testament, he's still talking about Abraham. What is it about Abraham? Why does God like Abraham so much? It's because when God told him, get out of your country, leave your home, leave your house, leave your life, leave your livelihood, leave the world, and come with me. Go where I tell you to go. Abraham got up and did it. Abraham is a figure for us. He even used throughout the New Testament text. He is a figure for us as Christians. Because God has called us to do the exact same thing as Abraham. We sit back and we talk about Abraham. We say, oh, he is so impressive. And he is. I'm not saying he's not. He is so impressive. But what's the intent of that? Why is it written there for us? But for us to realize that God has done the exact same thing to us. He has said to us almost the exact same words. He said, leave. Leave your home. You know, leave your life. Leave sin. Leave this world and go to a land that I will show you. We're not far from Abraham. And Abraham did it. He did all those works, and writer of Hebrews identifies why. By faith. He had it. He had that as his substructure of which he built his life upon. That's why he did all those amazing things. Everyone else here listed in this text, same thing. You look at Noah. Look at all the work that Noah did. It'd take a lot to build a boat to that extremity with not the modern tools and cranes and power tools that we have. Look at all the work that he did, all the years that he poured into. He said, Noah did those works by faith. So friends, when we are struggling in our works, when we are struggling in making the right decisions, we just can't seem to make the right decisions, or we can't seem to get to Bible study, to Bible class, to worship. We can't seem to make it. Something is always getting in the way. Remember the Hebrews, same thing. Something was always getting in the way. You know, they were forsaking the assembly too. Chapter 10, verse 26 said that. No, 25, verse 25 said that. You know, he said, don't forsake the assembly as is the manner of some. Some of them were already doing that. You know, they were being pressured by this world. They were falling back into the ways of the world. They had found something else to do, something else that they wanted to do more than what God would have them to do. They were not being like Abraham. They were not working like Noah. These people, why were they able to do that? Because of that faith. And the writer of Hebrews is identifying that in chapter 11. And he's identifying it as we read it to this very day in our life. We struggle with working for God. Do we struggle with having time for God? Having time to read our scriptures. Having time to make the right decisions, not sinful choices. Do we understand the need to reject temptation? Do we understand the need to talk of the scriptures to our family, to our loved ones, to our children and our grandchildren and to the world? Do we understand the dire need to study the Bible and to collect together as the church, to study together, to be here for 3% of our week? We're here. Do we see the importance of these things? Do we struggle to do those things? If we do, we know for certainty the problem. We don't have to go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, or wherever. Some therapist, it's in the scriptures. It's identified for us. Faith is the problem. We are not holding to conviction in our life. Because if we are, then the heavenly things are everything to us. Appreciate your attention.